This episode is brought to you in part by Wholehearted Love, a new book by Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Overcome the barriers that hold you back in your relationships with God and with others, and delight in feeling safe, seen, and loved with Wholehearted Love. For more information, go to Tyndale.com.
You're listening to the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Harden, and I'm so glad you showed up for our relationship chat today, as well as for you and your people. We're all about living intentionally here so you can experience joy and balance in your relationships once again or for the very first time. Be sure you hang with us on our social media platforms, and if you like research like I do, make sure you check out our website at enneagramandmarriage.com for our weekly newsletter, freebies, and so much more, as well as at Instagram and Facebook. We have so many goodies to share with you. Let's dive right in together. Hello, guys. Thank you so much for joining for this episode of the E&M Pod. I am so grateful we get to talk about something we don't always get to talk about here, and that's bringing minimalism to your marriage and family. I love that we get to talk to the fabulous Diane Bowden about this because she is a top-rated podcast host in this regard and also on Instagram has over 100K followers who are discussing this concept, who are learning from her. And I am one of those because this is not a high point for me. And this is a great, beautiful space for me to learn from. I love that she's a 7 also. And in a 7-5 marriage where we get to see little nuances with each show, like what do certain types look like together? And you probably noticed since we also had a 7-5 pairing last week that sometimes the 7-5 brings the systematizing to their world and they're doing it in a beautiful big way as they continue to learn from each other about how systems and minimalism can really help to bring their adventures out, but also keep them organized at home, even while raising a busy family. So I love that Diane dives deep with us and learns about herself on this episode and about her pairing, but also that she gives us her best gift. So just like you out there, I want you to be using your gifts and also just allowing yourself to continue to grow. That's what we're both trying to do here with you and be as authentic as possible, but also intentional and also continue to grow and learn. So I know I can use that this spring, just decluttering downstairs, looking for my AirPods today was so healing. And it was just the side product of looking for my AirPods, even though I'm normally scoring as somebody who cares more about and needs more internal sort of organization and order, especially if you Myers-Briggs. Some of you are like, oh, I love outer world order. And yet I can tell those who are like, maybe I press play because I'm sort of cautious on this episode. Will this affect or influence me? Yes, even if outer order is not your favorite thing in the world, understand that you still need it. We still need all the functions cognitively with our hearts. We still need all of us to do our body work, whatever types we are, whatever Myers-Briggs we are. So stay right here. You press play for a reason. And Diane's beautiful story and willingness to grow with us as well as to teach us is absolutely worth our time together here this week. Now, before she comes on, I just want to remind you that we're getting to that time of if you're able to, if you've read my book, The Enneagram in Marriage, I would love for you to review it on Amazon. It has been such a joy to walk through the pages with you, and I'm continuing on the podcast journey. In fact, I continue to have such fun. Last week, I was in Australia on my Zoom for the meeting. They were like, you can come. I'm like, I don't think that's going to fit between all of our recitals, but sounds fun. And we did the interview over Zoom, but I'm still on my podcast tour, and I hope you'll take some time to let people know between all of the Enneagram and Marriage books, between all of the other Enneagram books out there, that if they need help with their pairing, if they need help learning about conflict, and that might even be you, if you're like, I don't have your book yet. I didn't even know you wrote a book. I have to remember that too, as a 7 who moves forward, that I want you to know. And I'm so happy it's out there. So if you've read it, I would be so thankful if you took some time to review it, and that will help others to find it. So let's keep shining together and let's learn right now from Diane and her beautiful work on minimalism. And all of her work is in the show notes too, as is the link for you to review for the book. Thank you so much for coming on the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast, Diane.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad we finally are having this happen.
Me too. Two sevens together, you guys. We are just in our mom zones, our work zone. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You have such a successful podcast. I know it came in an unorthodox way. You didn't even expect it. Tell us just a little bit about you and minimalist mom and all of that.
Yeah, so my name's Diane Bowden, and I live in just a little outside of Columbus, Ohio. We just moved a little outside of Columbus about, I don't know, 6 months ago almost. But I have three kids. I've been married for, I think, 13 years. I feel like I should know the exact date, but I want to say it's thir I think 13 years. Yes, I started the Minimalist Moms podcast. I love to do photos. I'm a photographer. I'm very social and outgoing, which I'm sure we'll talk about here, being a fellow seven. The podcast itself, quickly to summarize, it was a creative project that kind of turned into a business of sorts, a brand of sorts. I never really, as you said, expected this to happen. I think I just stayed really consistent with it, and people liked the message of minimalism and simplicity. And it's kind of now become a podcast more about intentional living, intentionality. But I do try and stay under that minimalism umbrella of just, I always say, think more and do with less in every area of life.
That is so freeing to hear. And I've been in a season of becoming more free, and it feels good to head back into a healthy part of the seven. As we know, we're not trying to free ourselves from relationships, but the unnecessary chaos and stress and overdoing. So we
Oh, sure.
love you. We are so grateful for you. You're going to help us to do that better today. Tell us a little bit about you and hubby, and maybe a bit about his type and how you met.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So my husband is a type five. And so I think that's the logical one, right? Okay. You'll have to bear with me. I don't know like all the ins and outs of each of the numbers, but he is a five, probably wing six, the loyalist. We met 14 years ago. We met, he was my waiter. He was my server. I went out for my, God, was it my 21st or 22nd birthday? See, I'm so bad at all these little details. I want to say it was my 21st birthday, the day after. I had turned to my cousin to say something, and I turned back around and my sister was like, "Hey, the waiter looked really sad. He was wishing you a happy birthday and you ignored him." And I thought to myself, I wasn't trying to ignore him. I was just talking to Kelsey. And so afterwards I felt really bad and I was like, I'm gonna go talk to him. So I like 25 of my family members were there. They had left. I went up to him and I said, "Sorry, I didn't know that you were wishing me a happy birthday. You were a great server, blah, blah, blah." And he told me I looked familiar. And I was like, "I go to Ohio State." And he said, "I do too." And I said, "I'm gonna be a high school teacher." He's like, "I am too." We realized like we would have seen each other on campus, but he was getting ready to start his first year teaching and I was still there. So, anyways, long story short, he was like, I think I said, "I'm looking for a serving job right now." And he's like, "I can help you get one. Let me know your number or your email. And I'll try and set you up with my friend over at the Cheesecake Factory." Yeah, so sorry, all these like little details are
No, we
important.
love this. Literally, this
Yeah.
whole living for this. So go
Okay. So
ahead.
I went home. I added him on Facebook. The next morning, I woke up with a message that said I was an anomaly because for all the people that could have apologized over the years that he had worked there, no one ever apologized. And so he said I was like that anomaly, one in a million. And dated a few months. We ended up breaking up for like 2 months. Came back together, and then like 9 months later, we were married. So it was like boom, boom, boom.
Oh my gosh. What really helped you to have that staying power as a seven? I know that can be hard for us. Like you said, a lot of extroverted energy, especially when I was younger. Now I have learned to introvert more and kind of pace and stuff. And obviously, that's minimalism as well. But what was it that helped you to say, oh, he's solid?
Oh gosh, well, see, that's funny because within all of this, my faith is very important to me. And at that time, I felt like it was probably the most foundational thing in my life at that time. And he wasn't a Christian. So I'm hope I don't offend your listeners, but at that point we were dating for a couple of months and I was like, oh gosh, I just don't know if I can date someone that doesn't have my same faith, just because I figured I want to raise my kids this way and I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. So we ended up breaking up. But then a couple months later, It just happenstance we ended up getting a drink because of a friend that we had in common that had mentioned something. And when I met him that night, he was a different person. And it wasn't because of me or like my influence. It was because that he ended up going to this church through a guy at work, and he just seemed at peace. And he told me like he wanted to start pursuing this faith, and it seemed very like active in his life. And it wasn't a manipulation.
No,
I
I
think at
get
that
that.
point, I had had some bad relationships in the past. I know, granted, I was like in my early 20s, but I seem to have lived a lot of life by that point.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but all that to say, I think that because he was in that same, like, I just feel like I was very much in prayer. I was in communication with my parents, which I felt like I never was before in relationships, just really like processing with them. And I think for me, and I guess I don't know enough about the seven, but I felt like because I just was communicating with so many people and just really even writing things down and like just getting them on paper so I could like see them and visually to be like, is this right? It felt like it was. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. And it is very seven because as a seven isn't always as connected with our feelings, we often need that time to write to meet with our heart space. Even though your heart is huge, it's not always accessible to you as a seven. So that makes so much sense. You're like, let me just make sure because I think it, but let me make sure I also know it in my heart. And when you did, you're like, this is solid. I can feel it set on the sense level. I can think it and I know it in my heart. And like, course, there's been all these iterations. You're not perfect, but this was the beautiful marriage you got. I'm so happy.
No, it was very I say God led, but serendipitous, like meant to be. I think that he is a five. We've definitely had some issues, which I don't know if we're going to talk about, but I think he really does. He's like the yin to my yang and vice versa. We are a great contrast.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. And I am so glad you brought up the shadow pieces because every client here, every caller, every person who's just a listener and doesn't maybe know me on other levels, they're like, yes, please tell me I'm not alone, that sometimes it's hard, that even though you have a beautiful meeting story and it was a God thing. And many of our listeners share our faith of Christianity, not all, but I think everyone here has a sense for some things are destiny. And so tell us maybe a thing or two that other fives and sevens here with us might be able to resonate with, or just for us to get a sense for what might be a shadow of this pairing that could happen with two thinkers and one very big energy, one person who likes to be more calculated. What's something that you might say has been something you've learned through the shadows?
Yeah, I think that it's a process right now that we're learning. We're 35 now, and so this has been a learning process for probably the two of us. Again, we've been married for 13 years at this point. And I feel like now that we're both 35, I don't know, we got married in our early 20s, and there's an evolution that happens. Probably every 10 years, there's an evolution, I'm assuming. But I think that there were little blips back then that are now like starting to reoccur now that we're over that 10-year mark. And one of them for me, especially with the podcast, I just kind of want to meet people and I want to network with people and I love people and I'm rejuvenated by people. I'm very extroverted. And I think to him, he is more private and he is, like you said, maybe more calculated and not needing that. And that's been a really big struggle for us to say, like, what does it look like for you to go out and be with people and me needing to retreat at home? And it like, what are the boundaries we need to put into place? And then I don't know, like, is it wrong that Diane wants to go out and be more extroverted and for me to stay at home? Like, I guess what's the compromise there? So that's a lot of the conversation I'd say we've been recently having. Just more so, he's a planner and he has always just had his plan and he follows through. And I'm more spontaneous and I need excitement and new. And I don't know if in general sevens, like, is there, you can tell me what does it look like for a seven in their marriage, like long term? Because I think because sevens do always want something new, that probably seems hard to like stay in something forever. I'm not saying I'm trying to leave. I'm just
Oh,
curious about that.
No, it's a great question. And what really ends up happening is you end up learning to find sobriety as a seven from all the doings. And you don't, it doesn't mean you don't have all the doings still, because obviously I still do a lot. But this audience knows that I've started to move from my social seven to my self-preserving and one-to-one or sexual seven. And that's helped me a lot to favor those two versus just the social. And it's allowing that person to, instead of just be the happy, joyful, enthused, holding up all the plates, to, I can say no. And it sounds like I can invite minimalism in. I can allow my schedule to be more intentional. I love that you use that word. We use that word all the time here. And I allow myself to regularly come out of, we're part of the idealism triad as sevens. So to regularly do a practice for me of lament of what my spouse isn't, as well as to then walk from lament into gratitude for who he is, and then walk into doing the good plans that God has for my life each day. That's been a really meaningful process. As has instilling a weekly date night where we connect. We're not only different in Enneagram types, but we're also different Myers-Briggs and on every other scale we can possibly test on. And so I understand, like you said, sometimes there's a bit of an opposites attract. And also finding your lines of connection as a five and a seven together, you do have that through line of creativity, ingenuity, innovation, and there's a lot of conversations and depth and passion that can come from that space. So capitalizing on that, grieving what isn't, and also, like you said, even a compromising of, as you're coming into sobriety, there's still going to be a desire for you to extrovert. So how can that be managed in a way that feels trustworthy and honoring to him? And even that bit of a glow that I talk about, how can he learn to shine a bit brighter with your influence, where you can kind of pave the way for him to safely share with a few people? And then he can teach you, like, we don't need that. We love each other and we don't have to be with everybody. So that's just a little bit.
No, that's great. And I don't want to focus on only like that negative element, because I think where the bright side is and where we've really built each other up and been on the same page is with minimalism and saying, we don't need a lot of stuff. We would rather have the experiences. And I think that's worked really well for him because he is so intentional about his money. And I'm funny, so I'm frugal about some things, and then other things I'd rather have quality over quantity. So I'm okay with spending the money. But just being in communication with one another, and saying, is this like an intentional decision that we want to make that we think is best? Yes, that the answer for drinks with friends or like going out to dinner with friends is typically always a yes. We want to create those memories and have the relationships. Versus, I don't know. I drove a 2007 car until last year. Like, it wasn't something that needed replaced, and we were okay with that. So I think some of those things, just like, what are our financial goals? What are our goals together? And we both are have this desire to be entrepreneurs, and so I think he helps balance my free spirit, like maybe more wild side in that way that would be more frivolous, because he helps me make sense of why we do things the way that we that. Make a reasonable sense, if that makes sense.
It does. He's in the logical triad. You're in the positivity triad. And so this is a different grouping we can use for conflict resolution, but you each have gifts to give each other there. And so you bring him the lightness, but he brings you this depth to be able to say, I have thought the solutions out because I've taken my time. And when you can actually learn to settle into that and say, we were just talking about this yesterday in a Myers-Briggs chat in one of my groups, that one person who's got lots of ideas can throw all of them out. And then that other person who's got your husband. Husband's nature usually can say, this one's the best one out of all the ones you gave. Is that resonating?
Oh no. I think that is so fascinating. I think that the hard, another hard thing I'll say though. So five, six, the loyalist, I know this because my cousin's a loyalist, but she can be very suspicious and just assuming with people, especially if she's unhealthy. And for me, I'm like, oh, I met someone new. Let's invite him over. And I think that has been like, oh, I need to know a little bit more information. And I'm just like, no, I made a friend. This person's my best friend now.
Right.
So
And that
another.
infuriates the five wing six, who's like, are you kidding me? I love you. And you just made yourself vulnerable again. And you're like, but we're moving fast. So it's hard, right?
And again, I think I feel like I'm at a crossroads being in my mid 30s again with this business that I didn't necessarily expect and needing to. I think I've always been such an open book, and I'm understanding that I think it's not maybe the most emotionally healthy thing to just go around telling all your stories. To me, I'm like, oh, I love people's stories because they help me grow. But it's like, is this person just using this for gossip for that moment to where they have a reaction to it and then taking it to their friend, they have a reaction and they never think about it. This special thing to me that is important, and maybe just being a little bit more cautious about giving them that moment and that piece of whatever is going on with me. So that is something that I've been thinking a lot about recently, and
That's
also tapping
beautiful.
into that emotional side. Because like you said, we have big hearts, but I definitely don't like to cry. I'm trying to like be more into that side of myself
Yes,
because I
right.
do compartmentalize so much because it's hard to sit with that pain. And I think I don't want to because I'd rather just focus on the positive. But then there's like even some stirring subconsciously that we never really address. And then it's about to burst because we've just never addressed it. So that's where I'm finding myself. So I might not be the healthiest person to talk to.
Yeah, you are doing the classic seven things. And also, the beautiful thing about perimenopause, which will be coming eventually, is that you'll be able to even more have a little more natural emoting, especially that 1 week. And you probably already have some of it now, but that's a help for a female. But then also, you're learning not to do the fawn response all the time, which we can do, or be the jester and to take yourself more seriously and ask others to. So it is beautiful. And I feel like that's why your ministry and outreach has been such a blessed endeavor, is because you have learned not to just be the scattered seven. So that would be beautiful. Now, thank you for being so kind and caring to give us that. This is a safe place to do that, by the way. So I'm glad you did. Can you
Oh, yeah.
tell us a little bit about just how you and he have allowed yourselves to come into minimalism? And what are some tips for our audience who are at the beginning of this journey? Of course, the hugest tip is your absolutely huge podcast following. You're absolutely huge Instagram. These are great spaces. She does a lot of beautiful reels. But what else can we do?
Okay, yeah. Well, I would say I think probably a lot of your listeners, maybe they're not on the same page with their spouse. And I think that's really hard to not be on the same page as your spouse if you're starting to, or you have the desire to declutter and live with less. And so, I mean, my best piece of advice isn't great advice, but it's just to start living by example. I think coming to some type of compromise to say, like, this is my space, but you also get a space and you can do with it what you will. But the community areas of the home, we need to come up with some type of compromise for these spaces because we all exist here, and we need to put into process like we need to put efficient processes for these spaces. Like I'm thinking about the kitchen pantry. I've said if you set up your kitchen pantry that's best for you, and you wonder why a few days later it's a mess again, it's because you haven't thought about the entire family and how we're moving through these spaces. So it may not be as aesthetically pleasing, but set those systems into place that are working best for everyone. So I think, again, with a spouse that doesn't want to follow along, just live by example, give them those spaces. Visual boundaries are really helpful when wanting to keep sentimental items. So for each of us in the family, we have a pretty decent sized box for each of us that I got from the container store. They were a little bit pricier, but that's our sentimental box. And it's like you can fill this with as much sentimental, as many sentimental items as you want. But once it's full, like go back through it and what can you maybe live without? Because if everything's your favorite, nothing's your favorite. And so just like living by these little sayings and like understanding rationally why we do the things that we do, which I think is a great help of the Enneagram. To me, the Enneagram has been a tool in my life and in my marriage to say, this isn't who I. If there are things about this number that I don't necessarily love, I'm not stuck here. I can just use this as information to grow. So I think the same with our things. When we, even if you start in something as simple as the bathroom, I always tell people to start here, by the way, because there are very few sentimental items in the bathroom. So you can kind of get that little win under your belt to say, wow, I did that. I decluttered. I could live with less than I thought. You pull everything out, see what you can live without for 30 days, and then add back in as you need to. But I also feel like you end your day and start your day in the bathroom typically. And so it's like I don't want this to have any kind of anxiety producing feelings for me. But yeah, I think those are ways that I would suggest for people that don't have a spouse that's on board. But I think if you're both on board with this kind of lifestyle, like the sky is the limit. Like I think we're both on board when it comes to gift giving around the holidays, when it comes to valuing those experiences over things and like supporting each other's just drives to again do podcasting or starting little small businesses. He has his side hustle that I'm very encouraging of, because this is another thing I've learned at 35, it and decluttered, having decluttered for the last 10 years. Now that I'm through the stuff, I'm able to fully focus on my mind, my schedule, my relationships. Like, I've gotten the stuff whittled down. Now I can truly focus on what's important and working on the inner work that I think so many of us can never get to because our lives are so are so cluttered. And so I would say that that has been a huge benefit to both of us of just saying, like, we have the ability to have extra time, even if it's 15 minutes of whatever you need to do, journal, meditate, go on a walk, at either beginning or end or even middle of your day, because I don't have to clean up a bunch of crap that is unnecessary. Like, I've gotten my house into a good rhythm. I don't have too much, I don't have too little, but like, I mean, I still have three kids, but yeah, I would say, sorry, I said a lot.
Yeah, that's okay. This is good. We're tracking.
Yeah. So those are some things that I think. I don't know. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did. You really gave us some hope too for those of us who are perceiver oriented. We like to keep our inner world free for imagination and creating, and you gave even people like me a place and a reason to do that. Like, even if you're not outer world organization oriented, you'll still have time for your inner world more, even if that's your orientation, if you find good systems. And like you said, we have to be thoughtful about the systems because I'm hearing, I'm kind of just learning this with everybody. Like, if we don't think of everyone in the home, they'll only work for us. But I love your tip about the bathroom. I love your tip about honoring. Tell us what we can do. Last question, just if we're in that space where we're feeling the chaos of the busyness, do you have anything for how to find a little bit of peace when you're in that season of just it is busy because it's like you said, three kids season of life?
Sure. And I go in and out of this season. I feel like the fall, like the holiday season is always really from October, like Halloween until the end of the year. But one thing that I've really had to learn, especially as a seven, is to say no. Wanting to fill that role for me, I feel like I was in seasons of saying yes to every opportunity, to every book club, to every baby shower, to all the things, because I didn't want to have FOMO, but I switched that to say, what do I have the joy of missing out? The JOMO. What can I look at? Again, kind of like to gratitude, to say, wait, if I don't go to book club tonight, I can either hang out with my husband, I can read the book I want to, I can catch up on Love is Blind, I can go to bed, I need sleep. I can have margin. I can have margin in my life. And so I think busyness is a choice. And I think that people are offended when I say that because we don't get to choose if we have to work full time and manage single motherhood. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are these things that are outliers that we continue to say yes to, people we continue to say yes to because we're people pleasers, that we could have a little bit of self-reflection to why. Is it something that we take our value in? Is it something that we have identity in that we could start saying no, give someone else the opportunity to fill that space? Because I think my ego was also driving me to say, this is. This I needed to fill this space. Diane needed to, but I didn't allow so and so to fill the space. And really, that could have been a benefit or a blessing to her. And so, yes, I would just maybe question, like, is your busyness a choice in certain ways? In what ways can you manage it? In what ways can you say no? In what ways can you set even 5 minutes of time extra in your day to get yourself organized, to have that time with your spouse to where you guys sit down and go over the week together. Just like all these things. I'm not saying anything new. Like, people know this. They just need to have, they need to hear it until it like really speaks to them and they get it. Like, some people have hit a rock bottom and they really need to hear it again. And then it's like, okay, that's the motivation I needed to make a change.
Yeah, I needed to hear it today. Thank you. Because
Oh, I'm
just like you
glad.
said, every season and iteration is different. And there's a lot of things we want to say yes to, even if we're not sevens. So I think that it's a good reminder that there's always, I love that phrase, JOMO, that you get to say yes to something else when you say no. Well, I also really resonate in this way that sometimes I've noticed that my husband tends to be the even busier one as a one. And when he says no, something that happened to us last summer is he said some no's that he's never said before. And literally everything in our extended family got so much healthier. And people who were using him as that middle person started to do their own work. People started to thank us for all the work we've been doing over the years. People started to get healthier in their marriages because they weren't able to rely on him. And it was so cool. It's still going on to this day. So I feel like you really spoke well when you said that. Now, was he cruel? Was he mean? Does he still connect? Of course, he still connects and he isn't cruel or mean, but it was just learning to say no, like you said, could bless that friend. So thank you. And where can we find you? Because we want to learn more from you. I know I do. I've loved following your page, and it's a relatively new concept for me as a seven to be minimalistic. So where can we follow you?
Yeah, so I'll say it's at Minimalist Moms Podcast over on Instagram, Minimalist Moms Podcast, everywhere you get podcasts on Spotify, on iTunes. I have a book, Minimalist Moms Living and Parenting with Simplicity, that's a great book for beginners, that goes through just little snippets like that you could read in 3 minutes and just meditate on one of those ideas throughout the week. But I will say, I said some big things there at the end that I think if someone just like clipped it, they'd be like, wait, I'm offended by busy as a choice or this or that. And I feel like on these pages and this and in my book and my podcast, I go into more depth because I always want to understand people from a place of like humility and grace. Like I have mercy and understanding, but I also always want to be that friend to people that is like, but you can. Like, I will hold you accountable. You can do so much more because that's maybe what I've needed. So as maybe as a seven, that's what I want to encourage people with here at the end. Like, I go into more depth, but you also have the ability to make changes.
You're like, I want you to know how empathic I am, as I also call you to living a healthy quality life. So thank you. I received that, and I'm so glad to send people your way. It's all in the show notes, Diane. Thank you for all you're doing. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad we could connect.
Me too. Thank you guys so much for learning with me today. I hope you felt the same as me, that there was a lot to learn and glean, as well as just remembering now, even to take that one tip from today to allow yourself to even just close your eyes for a moment to say, when am I going to incorporate one tip from this time today? When am I going to take some time to really get that into action and to just have that visualization or written word? Maybe you take a moment to write yourself a note or an email right now. Oh, it's just so good to take that step. So I'm grateful. I am learning to clean my bathrooms, then going on to the bigger and better spaces after that. But just these little wins can start us off on such a great, beautiful place of ordering our lives and giving our families a little more room to dream. Ah, I love it. So, okay, I'll talk to you soon, guys. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you again for listening with us. It was so wonderful to have you. I love knowing we're doing this journey together, not perfectly, but with love, grace, and hopefully some fun too. If you love today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcast or Spotify so others can find it too. Visit our show notes so you can get all the links from today's show, as well as enneagramandmarriage.com, the Instagram, the Facebook, and all over the place. Make sure you spread the word. Love living intentionally with you. Bye-bye.